This morning, our speaker is Shelley McCormick. Shelley calls herself an agnostic atheist Christian. She grew up in the Presbyterian Church, and in an exploration of belief systems after a long religious hiatus, she found Unitarian Universalism and joined the UU Fellowship of Sonoma County in 2002. She moved to Middle Tennessee from the San Francisco Bay Area with her husband John 10 years ago. Shelley will speak on the topic, Seek First to Understand. Let's welcome Shelley.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is, I think, the fourth time every time when I get up here, I look around and think, what could I possibly tell you that you don't already know? What can I say that you'll find worth listening to? So I'm hoping there's something in that sparks an idea, or you might find some thread to pull on. And if not, it'll be a few months before I come back again. I'm here. So, and if you're a visitor, if this is your first time here and this doesn't really resonate with you, then please do come back, because it'll be something completely different next week and the week after. I was raised in a very liberal Presbyterian church, so that's my frame of reference. I don't believe that there's a God. I don't believe. But I really don't care to prove it, so kind of like, apathetic, I think, is maybe more a better word than agnostic. Also, I want to make clear, I'm not an expert in this topic or any other topic except software testing. I'm pretty sure you don't want to hear about that. So, and full disclaimer, I have never read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective. When I hit play within a few minutes, my train of thought was off in something he said reminded me of the Star Trek episode or my college roommate or some song or what I have for breakfast that day. 10 minutes later, I come back, he's still talking, and I miss. And I try and pay attention, but a few minutes later again, that I started thinking about this particular topic. I'm talking about how I smiled politely, waited for them to finish so that I could make my point, impatiently waiting for them to catch up with me. And that's one of the things that makes audiobooks so difficult. They talk too slow. The funny part of that story is that my manager shared that thing by our director for me to listen to. So we came full circle on that one. Another factor leading me to idea, and I know this is just being human beings, Christian or who they are, what they believe, people who are not, how it gets that way on social media. Perfect storm of factors coming together to engender the rudeness and aggression which are virtually anonymous. Rudeness. Second, they are at a distance from the target of their anger, antagonize distant abstractions more easily than living, breathing. And here for a second. Happen in real time. Commenters can write lengthy monologues to entrench them in their extreme viewpoint. Two monologues. So, getting back to habit number 5. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. But there are some things in it that I can pull out of it and say, you know what, this is relevant. I had a lot of ideas there's some value in some of the things. If you're like most people, and in doing so, you may ignore the other person completely. Pretend that you're listening, selectively hear only certain parts of the conversation, selectively focus only on the words being said, your mind, what you're going to say, your autobiography, see how it measures up, and consequently, prematurely, what the other person said. Second, I was an English major, so I kind of, I want to talk about the word communication for a minute. I can't say the words. Etymologically, it is related to and common. It is not the same as lecture, core of it, balance of power or status. I was Googling my way through the internet, gathering ideas for this talk. I also noticed those 7 Habits book, come across it in the context. Communication in the business world seems to be much. I'm trying in my own relationships to move that needle away from, I want to persuade you. I believe that's the road I want to travel. So part of being able to communicate effectively is the ability to keep an open mind and an open heart. 14th Dalai Lama reportedly said, and you can't believe everything you read on the internet, but it really sounds like something that a Dalai Lama would say. So we'll go with that. In any case, I don't believe it's true. Keeping an open heart is much easier than an open mind. Many of us are here because There is loving acceptance of great diversity and an open mind. And Henry Ward put it like this: people think differently doesn't mean they aren't awake or they're blind. It just means a different story has led them to there. It's always important to me to remain so both parties can learn from each other. It needs to wake up. They're unwilling to learn from their story. I've come to hold that, but he probably remembers Kim Davis only as she does. There's a pretty good chance I would. One of the things we've talked here about a few times is confirmation. I didn't see to avoid any information that contradicts a strongly held belief. Ecology Today had an article asking to cling to a belief even after objective facts show it to be inaccurate. They call cognitive immunity, impervious to the facts. Immunization explains why some beliefs become even stronger when challenged. Possible to challenge, just like I believe everything I read on the internet. Studies show that we have trouble remembering the times when our personal beliefs have our minds automatically neutralized clashing information. Help us get by ways of working through any hiccup. We accept a belief as whether it continues to be used. What matters is a rigorous defense. But I do want to touch on each of them briefly. We isolate ourselves from people who hold outside beliefs or to shield our ideas to reduce our direct excitement, challenge our own. Third, we connect our beliefs to pay with like-minded groups. Common in politics relies on repetition. Repetition is the backbone of all learning. Are the extraneous, such as sporting allegiances, not evolved to evaluate what is or is not the truth? Our minds were equipped through evolution with an impulsion to create, transmit, and So, where do we go from there? We believe what we believe, whether it's true or not. We hang out with people who believe the same. What we all believe is true or not. Unitarian Universalists, we've self-selected into a community that shares safer to build walls. It is always a good, healthy thing. The feeling that you might get of being in community, people are going to think I believe the same thing. Worse, is there a chance that I might become sympathetic to me right now? There is a risk in that. We should all just say, oh, yeah, you know, we'll just all have open minds. We won't have any convictions. We won't care. You know, we'll just all be happy and love each other. There are definitely some things my mind is very closed about. There are one or two things that they are locked up tight. I don't know where the key is, and I have no interest in finding it. And I think all of you probably could say the same. The key there is to know what those things are. Privacy of my own thoughts, I might find that key, open up, and say, is this, yep, close the door. But there might be a time when I think, oh, well, you know, I have some new example of that, and I haven't been keeping track of my time at all here. But a quick example. While I was getting my Google on this weekend, I decided to look up the 12th Amendment. That's the one about the Electoral College. They pop up here and there in conversations. A blog by Old Dominion Libertarian, Cruz and the Koch brothers. I'm not sure they have anything I want to hear. Those of you who are not familiar with the term Dominionist, political mandate, pretty closed about that concept, I have to admit. So what could a libertarian Dominionist possibly have to say that wouldn't repulse me, let alone that I'd be interested in? I almost passed it by. And then I thought, wait a second, you know, my whole point of this talk is opening my mind to other opinions and reading what people from different. So I read it by a libertarian, but it was fairly well reasoned and not at all that. And I learned something about the Electoral College. I learned more about, I didn't learn it that good, but it's a possibility that he who is not a Republican or Democrat learned a little bit more. Because I read it on the internet, it must be true. I'm pretty sure that's probably true. Oh, great. Let's all embrace deep communication without an agenda, that they really are harmful. Doing them more harm to well for the barnacle sometime. Should have done the barnacle song for them. I know. Fourth principle, exploring the wilderness of your own spirituality. Example, my great aunt Martha. And hilarious. Brought them, why would I want to have conversations with them? Otherwise my family dinners are going to be in complete silence for about the next year. I don't know. So, according to, especially since we all moved to Tennessee, some of us have gotten a little more liberal, which, some of us have gotten a little more conservative, which is pretty much everyone else. And to WikiHow, the answer to how to do anything, WikiHow, the key part of that is to shut up and listen. George Bernard Shaw, the biggest problem in communication is the illusion. And they analyzed that data to see when, and there's tracking of, they found that some back and forth, that a lot of back and forth is a sign of failure. After five back and forth exchanges, there's virtually no chance of changing a mind. Seven that I had a chance of changing my cousin. They also found that arguments using calmer language and specific, again, a lot of what I found about communication, which is kind of sad in a way. Our Business Review talks about combat mentality, allows the conversation to become a zero-sum game with a winner and a loser. That mentality versus defending, even if you don't really believe it yourself anymore. So to avoid that, you need to respect the person you're talking to. You need to keep this one in my back pocket. I'm realizing as we talk that I don't fully understand. Admitting what you don't know to tell you more. Listen without an agenda. Listen without let go of any motive to change their mind. They can actually see that path more clearly, and they may think, you know what? Sure, that's the right path after all. Experience. A lot of us are here because we have changed some fundamental belief. Imagine what it's like that when you realize that this thing I have believed with all my heart and soul for this many years. I told you. I'll read a couple lines from hymn number, I May Learn to Give as You Do. Here's Amy Poehler. If you can speak about what you care about without denigrating them or insulting them, then you may actually be heard. I've heard it said. I've also heard most profound loneliness is the feeling that no one needs you. I think both things are true, and I think that makes it a very powerful thing.